first pasuk in Parshas Vayera, Rashi quotes the Medrash that Vayera Elav Hashem Be'elone Mamre, and it doesn't say what Hashem said to Avraham. Then it changes the topic. But he's saying that Vayera Hineshvashan Hashem Nitzavim Allah. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, why did Hashem appear to Avraham? What did he discuss at that time? So Rashi quotes that he came to be Mevaka Choyla. That's one opinion. It says in Gov Metzia. There's one interpretation of the Gemara. Razalbala pointed out that perhaps is the Hemshech HaPsukim Vayera Alav Hashem Mevaka Rechachelu is the Yom Shlishi L'Milvastoy. The end of Lech Lechor is about the Brit Mila. Now the next pasuk says that there were three Malachim. Rashi says each one had a different function. Rashi quotes the Medrash. Echad Merapis is Avraham. The Hemshech HaPsukim is that if the Malach would have come to be Merapi Avraham first, I thought his father wouldn't have to come to be Merapi Chayla. If a person is sick and he gets better, then you don't go to be Merapi Chayla after he's all better. So first Hashem came to the Merapi Chayla before he was cured, and then later on the Malach was sent to cure him. This is the one opinion in the Gemara that Vayeru Elav Hashem was for the purpose of being Merapi Chayla. However, the other opinion in the Gemara is otherwise, that after the Ayukumim Nisham Ha'anash Ne'ashkifa Al-Pneisidani Abraham Ha'alech Ha'mom Shalcham, after the whole story with the Malachim, after they ate and drank and they left, Hashem Amar Hamachas Ani Mi Avraham Asher Ani Oseh. This was a new Gilui Shechina. This was another Gilui Shechina. So that's a Machlokes HaTanoim. So some Tanoim in the Gemara hold that Hashem appeared to Avraham Vayera Elav Hashem, and then Hashem told him Vashem Amar Hamachas Ani Mi Avraham. That's why he has a Vav, Vashem Amar. It says Vashem Him Tir Al Sidom Zohar Zayt Min Hashemayim. So there Rashi quotes Vashem Who Beis Dima. Whenever the Torah describes that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave a punishment, so instead of saying that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the punishment, the Teyalim are saying, say, how you're right about that, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want to be known as the one who gave the punishment. So it says that the Beis Shomayla gave the punishment. Same thing. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the chief, the Rosh, he's the Abbezin. That means the same thing. But it's a Losh and Nikia. So when it says that something good happened, so Hashem did it. When it says that some punishment happened, so it says, who Beis Dino did it. So when it says that Sodom was destroyed, it says Vashem, and Rashi says Hu Beis Dino. So what about here? Vashem Amar Hamachas Ani Mi Avraham. Hu Beis Dino. No, it doesn't. Rashi doesn't quote the Medrash. Doesn't say Hu Beis Dino on this Vashem. So the Marami Prak says it doesn't have to say Hu Beis Dino here. It's a Vav Achiba. This is a Hemshif. This is the continuation of the story that began in Portugalim. And he wanted to tell him about what's going to be with Sodom. And before he had a chance to speak to Avraham, so he sent the Malachim right away to see what Avraham Avinu is going to do. So Avraham Avinu did the right thing. So Avraham Avinu said, Vayomar Hashem, and no matasichei me'enecha, almas Avraham me'al avdecho. The Gemara has a machleke satanayim mishvuz. In part of the Gemara, Vayomar, whether al avdalad nun yud is kodesh or chol. So according to the pshat that it's kodesh, Hashem, and no matasichei me'enecha, Avraham Avinu is talking to the Baruch Shalom, means that the Baruch Shalom didn't leave yet. Not that the Baruch Shalom came to be Mizrach HaChayim and he went away, and then the three Malachim came, and then Hashem Amar Hamachas Ani Mi Avraham is another Gilui Shechina. No, this is according to one time in the Gemara. According to one time in the Gemara, the Baruch Shalom came to be Mizrach HaChayim and he went away. Then the Malachim came. The Baruch Shalom is not there. So what do you mean by Amar? Ado Noyim, Namasach Shechayim Vien. I thought that he was speaking the Baruch Shabbat. The Loshon Kar is speaking to the biggest of the three Malachim. I don't know which one is the most important one. It's stood in the middle. The Gemara says Shlosh is showing half a Madara. There's no doing the that the God will tell of the answer. He spoke to the one in the middle and he called him my master. That's if you hold that as Loshon Kol. And then Vashem Amah Hamchasanim Yavram, that's a new Gilish Shvuah. But if you learn like the Tana who holds in Shvuah that Hashem Amnam Yisrael Tuchem Yenecho is Loshon Kodesh, then the Hemshah HaParsha is like this. Vayera Elav Hashem was not for the purpose of being the Raka Chayla. It had nothing to do with Bika Chayla. It came to him to speak with him about what's the story with Sodom. What did he have to consult Avraham about Sodom? What is it? His business? But that's what the Pasuk did is by Avraham Asher Ani Oseh. Is it fair that I should wipe out Sodom without speaking to Avraham in advance? Because he gives the reason that we don't understand Avraham. How you're yelling, go to the altar, and you're going to 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 go Why did the Baruch Shalom have to consult with Rav Amalek? Baruch Shalom answered, destroy Saddam. So destroy Saddam. Why do you have to discuss it with Rav? The Rashi quotes in the Medrash. The Medrash is bothered with this. What's the hesper over here? Chasanini Avram, can I do it without consulting Avram? There's a question. The Rashi quotes, there are different explanations given in the Medrash. One explanation is, I just gave Avram Avinu already in the end of Parshas Lech Lecha the whole Eretz Yisrael. So if I want to take five trees away from Avram, I have to consult with him. I want to wipe out five cities. I certainly have to discuss it with him. He's the Balabas. I can't just destroy his property. That's one explanation the Medrash gives. Here exactly because it's given to the Pasuk. It doesn't say that Hashem gave him Eretz Yisrael. Laman Havi Hashem al Avram Eis Hashem Dibo Olo. That's what it means. Laman Havi Hashem al Avram Eis Hashem Dibo Olo. He finds he's going to give him Eretz Yisrael. That's perhaps what the Medrash says. Then the Medrash has another explanation. How can I keep it a secret from Avram Avinu? I always consult with him. Moshe Lamelach, that he has, the king has the Secretary of State, at least he has his Vice President. I don't know, the President has a Vice President. He always consults with the Vice President. But sometimes he'll decide to do things without consulting with the Vice President. But then he says, Moshe Lamelach, that he has three advisors. And this time he decided he wants to do something without the three advisors. So one guy, he locks the door, he doesn't let him come in. The other guy, he sends him on a trip to China. And then the third guy, he said, but this guy I can't do without this advisor. So the letter says that the Rav Shlom decided he can't do anything without discussing with Avraham Avinu because he's too close an advisor. Then other pshatim in the Medrash, what it means, that Avraham Avinu knows all of them. Chasanini, Avraham Avinu knows Kol HaTarakula, he knows all of my secrets. He knows even the dinim that I'm a chadish every day. And the Medrash goes to Pasuk, the Rav Shlom is a chadish halachas every day. He knows everything, so how can I keep any secrets from him? Not that he's the advisor, not that it's Eretz Yisrael belongs to him. He knows everything, so it's impossible that this should be kept a secret. But whatever the pshat is, according to one time in the Gemara, Vayera Elav Hashem et Tosuk Aleph means that Hashem appeared to Avram to discuss the issue of Sodom. That's the beginning of the parasha for the end. He came to discuss the issue of Sodom. Then he sent him Malachim, and Avram Avinu did the proper thing to be matzik, to give Hashkina, in order to take care of the Malachim. He didn't know that they were Malachim. So he said, Hashem, he spoke to Hashem, he said, could you wait for a few moments? For a while, and I'd take care of the Malachim. And after he took care of the Malachim, then, Va'ashem is a Va'ahemsha. It's not who obeys Dina. Va'ashem, it goes back to the beginning of the time. This is the Machlokes Satanaim, how to understand the parsha. Rashi doesn't make it clear that this is one time, there's a different time. Rashi just wrapped that in all the Midrashim. But the Marami Prague, another Mephoroshim, and the Mizrahi point out that these are two distinct shitas in understanding the time. The Rambam writes in the Mer and the Buchim that whenever you find in Tanakh that people meet Malachim, this is Bemar HaNevuah. So what's the story over here that Avraham Avinu met Malachim and was all a dream? It was only Mar HaNevuah. And Sarah left, was also Mar HaNevuah. And the meal, and the shech, and the behemoth, and the tongue, and the mustard, everything is Mar HaNevuah. Nothing is for real. So Avraham Avinu was a Mach Nesortim, that's wonderful. The Mar HaNevuah. I had a dream. I had a dream that I was Mach Nesortim. So what's so great about, I had a dream I was Mach Nesortim and I shech the three behemoths, that's Gebaldik Amar. If I really do it, then it's something Gebaldik. So the answer is no. It was the Mar HaNevuah, it really happened. These were the, and then he says these were angels who came in the form of Shkosh HaNashim. They came in the form of human beings, and they looked like they were eating, okay. But it was for real. It really happened. But it was also B'mar HaNevuah. Part of it was B'mar HaNevuah. It means that if it would just be like a plain person sees what's happening, he wouldn't have believed them that they're going to have a baby and all stories. It means that it really happened, but also part of it was B'mar HaNevuah. It doesn't mean B'mar HaNevuah, the whole thing was a dream. That's why Rav Elbele commented on the perfect wife is Vayar, Vayar twice. Why you say no Vayar? The Rashi quotes from the Gemara, the Gemara asks, why did he say Vayar? Vayar, the Hino Shkosh HaNashim Yitzavmah, he saw the three people. And then they saw that he was changing the bandages and taking his pills and putting the drops in his ears and so on, and he didn't feel well. So then they walked away, and then Aramina saw that they were walking away. Vayar, so he chased after them. He realized that they realized that he didn't feel well, so they didn't want to be Mashiachim. He chased after them. That's what Rashi quotes from the Gemara of Rav Seal. So Rav Elbele suggested that maybe the Rambam understood in Shulchan Mikra Vayar, that it was a double ear. It was Vayar, Behinei Shlosh HaNashim, he saw with his eyes that it's something is really happening here. For real, there are three people. It's a real story to the Seal that happened. Vayar, Vayar, it's the cross, and that was also a ear of the Mara HaNevuah. That both are true. But the Rambam didn't mean to say over here that the whole, everything, nothing happened over here, that the whole thing was just Mara HaNavua. It was both Mara HaNavua and the Metzius.
But wasn't the Rambam bothered by the fact that angels could ask them what to bring the transmission?
I don't know. If that would bother him, then the Medi says that that's not a custom. Medi says that they really took a human form. Rabbeinu Bechaya on the next pasuk, Hashem and Nomad Tosafim Yenefa, on the assumption that Hashem is Lashon Kodesh, has an arichas about the contrast between the Nekudis. Talks about a segol and a cholim and a patach and a shulik and a tomitz and a kabbalah. The difference between one havar and the other. So he draws a distinction between a patach and a tomitz. But a patach, what do you call a tnu? There's a tnu khan and a tnu gedola. A patach always has to have another letter come after it. So it's going to have a shvor. And a tomitz is not so. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya says that that's why the Shem Hashem Aleph Daled Nun Yud has to have a komet. Why? Because a patach means that it's nismach to something else. And the Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't have to be nismach to anything else. The Rabbeinu Shalom is an independent existence. That's why the Shem Hashem, the Shem HaKodesh, Shem Elokeinu, he calls it Aleph Daled Nun Yud, has a komet at the end to indicate that HaKodesh Baruch Hu Hashem Elokim Emes, like the Rambam says. What does it mean to pasuk in the Pesach Hashem Elokim Emes? That it's Amitas Himotzach, that it therefore has an independent existence. All the other things in the world, we exist. The building exists, the university exists, the whole world exists, everything that exists is a dependent existence. Because my HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to exist, it exists. It can flop back into non-existence, because the Teva HaOlam, before Sheshis Mei Bereishis was the Teva of the world, before there was the world was, that there was nothing there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to continue to desire. Yara Lakim Kitab, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this desire that everything should continue to remain in existence the way he made it in Sheshis Mei Bereishis. And if he would for one moment not desire that things should continue to exist, so it's not that we would drop dead. We would disappear into thin air. We wouldn't be thin air either. There wouldn't be any thin air. There would be nothing. The air would disappear. Everything would disappear. But that's what the Rambam says in the Yara Chazok, and he says to say that there. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Metzius Amitus, he has an independent existence. Hashem came, the whole world, things really exist. Yeah, there's a table over here. I'll bang my head, I'll bang my hand, I'll hurt myself. I'll fall down, I'll hurt myself. Things really exist over here. It's not just a dream. But it's not an independent existence. So that's what the Rabbeinu Bechaya insists, that the Shem Hashem has to have a komet at the end. The question is, how do you pronounce the komet? So the star then pronounced the komet cannot be the same as a patah. Can't be the same as a patach. So then, what do you need in Hebrew a komet and a patach for? Let every komet be a patach. So the answer is no. A patach is a, and a komet is a different kind of a, different kind. So you have to know what the chiluk is to this a and that a. Shver. So that's what they quote from the Chazon Ish, that he was very machpid, that even the Sfardim who speak Habaras Sfardit should pronounce the Shem Hashem noy. Because the Rabbeinu Bechaya gets all excited over here. He says that one who's going to mix up the patach with the komets is going to lead to kfirah, because the Bereshit has an independent existence in it. He insists that it has to be dafke tnua gedola, can't be a tnua ktan. So that's what the Chazon Ish was insistent upon. That. There's another point, that's not what the Chazon Ish was marked with. The Rav Soloveitchik said over from his father's Chanurah, that let's say if a person davens in translation, let's say he says Kiddush, or he says the Bracha, whatever, Davin's in translation, says Kriyashman translation. But the din is that you say the Chalosh, Shalom B'Chalosh and Shatah Shemaya. And Tila Brachas and Kiddush and Avdoch need the Chalosh and Shatah Shemaya. But Moshe Soloveitchik had at Shuvas HaRashbo that the Shem Hashem cannot be translated. Names, in general, names cannot be translated. Let's say, let's say you wrote the Megillah Esther in translation. It says in the Mishnah, in the Shulchan Aruch, but if you wrote a Megillah Esther in transliteration, it has to be Hebrew Isaiah, but you can transliterate the Hebrew. So let's say you wrote, and it happened in the days of Ahasuerus, and Esther, and Mordechai, and Haman, the whole story. So instead of writing Haman, you'll write Haman. And Esther, Ahasuerus, you write it in a different language. The whole thing is going to be transliterated from English. So what if you'll translate the name into English? So that's what the Chibus Arajba seems to say. There is no such thing. A name can't be translated. If his name is Moshe, so his name is Moshe. You can't translate to Moses. a different name. Moses is a different name. Saint Augustine is a different name. Whatever the name is, that's what it is. There is no translation. So the same thing, let's say if you say a bracha, so you say, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, I'm actually left on earth, whatever they brought forth to address in the ground. You can say, O Lord our God. Saint Augustine is a different word. If you want to translate the bracha into English, so you have to have Hashem Elokeinu, it has to remain the same. Or Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So you say, Hero Israel. Israel is not a tent. There is no translation of Israel. You have to say, hear, or listen, or understand, whatever. The Machlok is whether Shema means, Balash Hashat Hashemeya, understand. Or Shema means, Hashma Leyoznecha, Hashat Hamotu Yotifa, hear. So it's Taka Machlok, the Litaskin is not Hashma Leyoznecha, but it's not Hero Israel. There is no such thing. Litaskin is understand. But the poskim are not too fond of saying Krishna in translation because every word is a machlokes hatorayim. How to translate it? Shema, the first word is really a machlokes hatorayim. What it means? Shmamukaloshes hatoshmei means understand. Or hero Israel, and hero Israel is the way we don't poskim. So again, the Israel is also not. You can't translate a name. You have to say understand Israel. Then you have to say Hashem. Then you have to say our Elohim. You want to translate, you say our Elohim. Then you have to say B'Shem Hashem Echad. Then Echad is also a machlokes, Rashi in the Rambam. What it means. Rashi says Hashem, who is now our God and the nations of the world don't recognize him, in the future he will be the one God of all the nations of the world. It's by the translation. And to the Rambam means that we believe in monotheism. One God. So how are you going to translate the last word? Machlokes, Rashi in the Rambam. Some question, what kavan are we supposed to have when we say Krishna? I both kavan, okay. But the Satan translation is a problem. So that's what Avshalom Reitschik said, the shame his father is a Hanabracha, that he had a Tshuva Sarajbo like that. The Afike Yam quotes this Tshuva Sarajbo and he gives a different interpretation. He says that he meant something else. But Moshe Avshalom Reitschik said that perhaps that's what the Tshuva Sarajbo means, that shame is anyone's name. Esther, Haman, Moshe, Taro, you can't say Pharaoh. If you're going to do in translation, you can't say Pharaoh. That's not a translation. There is no translation for a name. Yeah, the Rambam says that every brach has to have Shem u'Malchus, so the Shem doesn't necessarily have to be one of the Shiva Shem or Shem and Chokim. You can substitute a different name. But that's really Mishanim Bateh Shetalach HaChomim the brachas. Let's say if I want to say a bracha in English, that's not Mishanim Bateh Shetalach HaChomim the brachas. The Yotze B'chol Lashon, you can be Yotze in translation. But if I say Rachmana instead of Hashem Elokeinu, then I'll say Malka D'Yalmo, that's translation. But if I substitute Rachmana instead of Hashem Elokeinu, That's going to be a Mishanim Bateh, because that's not a B'chol Lashon, that's not a translation. There is no translation for Shem. So if you want to be Yotze Bracha L'chatchila B'shal D'Shainas, you'll have to say it with the correct Shem Hashem. If you say Rachmana, you'll also be Yotze. But that would be a Shina in Mateh Shetala Chacham. So I thought that... A name can't be translated. Yeah. Design Shem Shem Echad for sure, not and even a person name. You can't translate a name. So the words can be translated, but a name can't be translated. So the clarity, let's say if a person is from a family with his father's grandfather's great-grandfather, all the way back, they always spoke Havor Ashkenazi. Then he moves to Eretz Israel, and he wants to daven. He should continue to daven Havor Ashkenazi. But if he wants to be the Balfila, he wants to be the Shliach Tzibur, and everybody in the community davens Havor Ashkenazi, but he has to daven in the language that they understand. He has to say Havor Ashkenazi. So the Shaila is, when it comes to all the Shemus, maybe Havor Ashkenazi should be considered a translation. According to his tradition, that the correct pronunciation of Hebrew is Havor Ashkenazi, so then if davening and Havor Ashkenazi, that's like davening in English. Davening in Shavu Shem, it's a translation. But he holds that that's not the correct pronunciation. So you don't see the davening translation. It's good l'chatzim also. But the Shaila is the Shemus can't be said in translation. So that's why others had a different state, not like the Chazanish, based on the Rabbeinu Bechaya, that the Sfardim, many of the Sfardim don't know how to distinguish between a Patach and a Kometz. It always sounds like a Patach. And Rabbeinu Bechaya gets so excited over here on this pasuk about he's so insistent that Aleph Dalet Nun Yud has to be a Kometz. If you don't know how to pronounce the Kometz like a Patach, but the Chazanish said pronounce it like a Kometz, it will be safer. others had a different idea that if you have an Ashkenazi who's davening for an omid, have a rasta did, and Itaka says everything is tzadid, but all the names he should say what Moshe says is saying. They're saying Moshe, you say Moshe. That's correct. So Malel Malerad, that's not the difference in Havara. That's supposed to be one way or the other. Either Malel Malerad. Some people are careful, some people are sloppy. But Havara Ashkenaz and Havara Slav, these are two different Havara. So the question is, which is the correct one? So the person has one tradition and he davens it, whatever, his tradition is Sardis and he davens in Havara Ashkenaz. So he should say, maybe he should say everything in Havara of the Tzibur except for the Shemus, because the Shemus can't be done in Tzibur. That's a different. That's not the reason that the Chazon Ish gave the time. The reason the Chazon Ish gave is based on this Ben of the Chaim.
Well, that Tzibur is not a translation, that's what he's doing. And that's why he's doing it, because that's the Hebrew.
Yeah, but the Shemus is for him. He can only go so far. He can only go so far. If according to me, I'm not Yetzer. How can I do according to the Tzibur? I can go along with the Tzibur to a certain extent, but there's a limit. I can't say the Shemus rule. So the shaila is that when I'll daven out loud, even what I'm saying in Sardit is good for me, but how are the shame is good for me? I didn't say the shame. I don't know. No, the Chazon Ish's Tzedek is only on the comments of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Chazon Rabbeinu Bachayim. But according to what Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, that no names can lend themselves to translation. But then the question is, what are you going to do with Havara Ashkenaz, Havara Ashkenaz? So the truth of the matter is that we really hold that all the Havaras are good. We hold that all the Havaras are considered Lashon HaKodesh. But the others hold not so. That's the shot. Moshe Soloveitchik himself, when he used to daven in Havara Ashkenaz. But then after the davening, he would repeat Kriya Shema a few times. He would say in Havara Ashkenaz, and he would say again all the different shades of Sardishah pronunciations, because of Havchili, he's supposed to say Kriya Shema v'Loshon HaKodesh. So he felt maybe this one is not correct, maybe this one is not correct. So he tried and all that. So we usually assume not so. Most regular people don't say Kriya Shema a few times. They say Kriya Shema once in a year. They say why? So you assume that any Havara that a lot of Jews have is considered Lashon HaKodesh, not considered translation. Duchening you can't say in translation. Siyas Kafayim has to be Dafke in the original Hebrew. Kriya Shema can say in translation. Duchening you can't say in translation. So how do we allow people to Duchen if they're saying the wrong Havara? So the answer is we assume that all the Havaras are acceptable. Yeah, that's how it's assumed. He should explain according to what the meaning of Tzibur is, whatever the regular Tzibur does. Moshe Feinstein writes like that, and it's true. But the Havaris, well, it throws people off. If it's different, it throws people off. So the Kriyas HaTorah should really be Kriyas HaTorah, Havaris HaShan, should be in the Havara that the people don't. The passage says that when Avraham Avinu did the Hachnas HaSorachim, so he gave his wife a job, she should bake the challah, and he gave the Nar a job, Aitain Al-Anar, he had Yishmael do part of the job, and he had the whole family, everybody was involved. And later when you read about Lot, that the Malachim came to Lot, And Lot also had this practice of Achnosis Rochem. And Lot, you don't see that he got the whole family involved. He himself did it. That's exactly the pasuk draws this context. Tiyadaitiv, I love Avraham Avinu. Rashi says Loshen Tiba. Tiyadaitiv, the pasuk calls Avraham, Avraham O Havi, in Navi. Tiyadaitiv, the pasuk says in Chumash also, I love Avraham, because Imana Sheitavis, Banavis, Beshachov, Vishama, Darach Hashem, Lashes, Dach HaMishpat. He does Tina. Avraham Avinu does Tina. There were other people in the days of Avraham Avinu, Lot, and there were other people who learned in Yeshiva Hashem V'Yezer. So if I was Stein writes in one of his stories, whatever happened to all those people who learned by Shem V'Yezer? How come we don't have this? They were probably learning Shevi Mitzvah's B'nai Noach, so we should have them, some Sifrei Chidushi Torah. Yankov Avinu learned to Shem V'Yezer 14 years, his son must have learned something. And Yitzchak, at the end of the Akedah, Yitzchak was 37 years old, then he gets married at the age of 40. So what happened to 3 years in between the Akedah and his marriage? And when after the Akedah is over, Yashua Avraham al Yerova, I came over Yachal Yashua al Yashua, Yashua Avraham al Yashua. What happened to Yitzchak? Yitzchak disappeared? So the Midrashim say that Yitzchak went off to learn in Yeshiva for 3 years. And Khan, that you're supposed to learn in Yeshiva right before you get married. So learn 3 years. You graduate college, you get a job, then you get married, you learn for 3 years. So everybody was learning Yeshiva Shem V'Yezer. How come we don't have anything left from Shem V'Yezer? That they had so many tzaddikim sitting and learning. That Tzvi Chassid Chaim says that it would appear that this is the Yitzchak Chilik. He died from Manashe Tavis Banav Beis Acharov. That Avraham Avinu held that it's an Iker in Avos Hashem Yahavtos Hashem Okecha. The Gemara says in Yom Shiri, Hey Shem Shemayim Yisahev Al Yodecha. Avraham Avinu used to be Machin Sorchem. And told him to wash off the Avodah Zorah from the feet because he doesn't believe in that garbage. Avot Shavaglayim. And then he said, say Hamaitzin, say Bechus Hamazin, don't touch me, thank you. The Baruch Hu, only one God, and break your idols. He's traveling all around, traveling to Egypt and teaching the monotheism, and to Dror, and to the north, and to the south, and to the east, and to the west, traveling all over, teaching the whole world. And the people of Shem V'Yezer, they were very laid back. They thought, we'll learn all about the truth and about the Sheva Mitzvahs, and they didn't feel that it's necessary to spread the gospel. And to teach it even to their children. Children busy with college, with homework, whatever. So let them do. I'll be Machnas Orchem. And the wife also, she's watching television, whatever. The family light is going to take care of Achnosis Orchem all by himself. He didn't feel that it's essential to get anybody else involved. That's exactly what the Pasuk describes as the chilek between the Jewish way and the Shem V'Yezer way. The Yeshiva Shem V'Yezer didn't have Hatzlach. And Avraham Avinu's policy had the Hatzlach. Still, not a right to Shem V'Yezer. These are separate things. That Avraham did everything right, and Lot, even though he did something right, it wasn't fully correct. He didn't really get the whole family involved. Just like I'm saying, just like the Chafetz Chaim draws a distinction between Yeshiva Shem V'Yezer and Avraham. So here it would appear that this contrast is drawn between Lot and Avraham. They both did Achnosis Orchem and in a different fashion. The Chavetz Chaim has a comment on this parsha. He writes, we never understood for years and years why the Torah says that we have tzaddikim and we have rishayim. The tzaddikim also do averus and rishayim also do mitzvahs. But usually the Tanakh leaves out the avlus or the averus that the tzaddikim do, because it's not significant. They're not really interested in a biography of a tzaddik to know every single thing that he did. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to make fun of people's print biographies, so they write who his mother-in-law was and who his daughter-in-law was and how he got along with his sister-in-law and how many children he had and how old she was and who he was and the first wife and the second wife. What's the difference? He said the only years ago they used to write biographies of the G'dayim, it was important to know those aspects of their life history that are relevant to us, not how many children had and so on. What mitzvahs and mice and tables did they do? What hanhavis and shoras did they do that we can learn a lesson from it? It's time to write that he didn't get along with this one, he didn't get along with that one, so we should learn not to get along with other people. Things that are irrelevant. They write big biographies and they dig up all the details about how many children they had, and when all the children got married, and what the sons in is, or what's an afkamina. So here also, what does the Torah write? The Chaim wants to know, why does the Torah write about the negative aspect of Sarah? That she was laughing, and Hashem told Avraham, Bama Dretzo Hakos Sarah, and then Avraham Avinu gives a musa. but the chachik stara lema loy tzachak tichiareya yama loy tichachok. And Ravina gives it a musa. What is the whole debate back and forth? It's very not typical of the Torah to describe that Sora did an aver. What's the significance of writing this? Sort of a sign. He writes that it bothered him for many years. He keeps speaking. He writes that holding now by the time that Mashiach seems to be on his way, and there's so many people who are religious people, they do all the mitzvahs Torah, but they don't really have emunah that Mashiach is going to come. They're very depressed and dejected. And he says, so you left him, do you believe Mashiach is coming? Yeah, Mashiach is coming. Yeah, one of the Yidden we got, well, they believe it. Is he really coming? Yeah, I guess he's coming. Yeah. But they're just half-hearted. So he says, so I also believe. But if she really believed, she had a marahan of the word. If Anishwam told her, they heard him of the word, that she's going to have a baby. But if she would really have believed it, she would have jumped from joy. After she was laughing, it didn't seem like a laughter of joy. It seemed like a laughter at this of doubt. So the Chafetz Chaim says, this is a tachacha for all of us. The Torah writes this, the negative aspect of Torah's biography, as a tachacha, as a musa lesson for all of us, that when we're supposed to have a munah in something, we're supposed to have a munah shlemo. Not some munah, yeah, it's going to happen, but we have status in our mind. Person should, you believe in Mashiach, it should be a strong emunah in Mashiach. All of you say this emunah should be strong. The Gemara says in many places that the mitzvah of chinuch is only midirabbanan. So the Chafetz Chaim asks, and others ask, how can you say the mitzvah of chinuch is only rabbanan? It says in the finish, do you die for man who should tell the Beis Lach 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 Hashem? There's a pasuk in the Torah about the importance of chinuch rabbanan. He died for by love Avraham Avinu because he's mechanic his children. That's part of your haftos. You hate Shem 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 Shem. So how can you say that chinuch is only rabbanan? So the note says that the parsha to parents is simple. Chinuch avada is the rice. It says, "Lamadat ma'asim mishbenechem." It says in Kriyas Shema. It says, "All over the Torah, you have to teach the parrot to your children." But it doesn't mean that I have to teach with that my child shakes the lulav. I show the child this is a lulav and this is an esrig, and don't get it mixed up. You don't use a lemon, use an esrig. You don't have to do anything now. But when you'll be bar mitzvah, then you have to remember to shake the lulav with the esrig and so on. So I don't have to train him at all now. Chinuch just means I'll show him. I'll show him how it feels and so on. But that I should say the bracha with him and I should shake it with him. That's not the araisa, that's only the rabbanim. And our Torah, the only thing that's required is to explain the dinim and to show him and, so that when he'll be bar mitzvah, he'll be able to do the mitzvah. From the rabbanim, they required more than that. You should actually go through the mitzvahs right now. You should do the chinuch right now. That's the shiloh there. Rav Meir Schlesinger published an essay, I think, last year or 2 years ago. In the Torah journal that his yeshiva puts out, is that what it's called? Shalai Das? He has an interesting child. Let's say the parents have a child who is a problem child. Every child is a problem child. So let's say they have the following problem. Each one is a different problem. You got to figure out solutions to each problem is a different solution. So let's say the child is a little problematic, that the parent sees that if I'm going to force the kid to shake the lulav, so he's going to have a bit of taste for lulav. Every year he has some kind of a phobia or something. He doesn't want to shake the lulav. So I'm going to force the kid at the age of 9, 10, 11, 12 to shake the lulav, then I can tell that he's going to rebel and he's going to run away. He's never going to shake the lulav the rest of his life. But if I'll show him the lulav and the esrig and I'll explain what it's all about, and this year I'll show him, and next year I'll show him for 4 or 5 years. So then the summer later on he will shake the lulav. Now he has that some kind of a bug in his head that he doesn't want to shake the lulav. Unless the face of matzah, lel pesach, he doesn't enjoy eating matzah. So do I have to force him? Shove the matzah down his throat? Or no, if I see that it will be counterproductive, so I shouldn't force the matzah down his throat. So he says, Al-Pi-Pashtus, that if it's a conflict between the chinuch deraita and the chinuch derabbanan, so he's certainly amadet the chinuch deraisa. So just tell a kid, this is matzah, and today's Pesach, and on Pesach time you have to eat matzah. And if you don't feel that you're not in a good mood now, so next year, or the year after, you'll be by mitzvah, so make sure you eat matzah then. But if you see that now, by forcing him to do the mitzvah, you feel that this will turn him off in the mitzvah later, so you don't Giron insists on fulfilling the chinuch rabban and at the expense of losing the chinuch era. This is what, let's say the kid doesn't want to wash until he's dying or something like that. So this is what his idea was. He writes to the Etzav Shlomo Zalman Reuerbach about this, and he agreed, and he told him to look in his sefer. And in his sefer, he showed him the siman in the sefer. And Mincha Shlomo, he has a different discussion of, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you're not permitted to give food to a person whom you know is not is going to eat without reciting a bracha, is going to eat without washing until he's dying. And then the Achronim discuss, is it so? Maybe you can distinguish between the cases. The mini garlem is that we do it anyway. That we give, that's what later Achronim say. Maganabam says you're not lost, but later Achronim say the mini is that you give to people whom you know are not going to wash, you give food to people whom you know are not going to recite a bracha. Why? So they have whole discussions. So Shlomo Zalman Reuerbach writes that on one occasion there was some wealthy balabas came to the yeshiva, and then after they had some kind of dedication, he gave a lot of money, then it wasn't a religious meal. And somehow he visited the Shlomo Zalman's home or something like that, he visited the yeshiva or something. So Rav Shlomo Zalman gave him some food to eat, and he knew in advance that the fellow wasn't going to say a bracha. So the shaila was, it's with me either, and Magen Avraham says that it's with me either. So he says, I had the alternative of giving him food and violating with me either that he won't say a bracha or eat bread without washing until he dies. And if I won't give him the food, and I won't give him a drink, and it's an Eretz Yisrael, and it's a hot climate, and he's thirsty, so the guy will think that I'm a boor. The guy will think that I'm an idiot, that he's thirsty, he's sitting for hours at the dedication, I don't give him a drink. So he'll be turned off from Talmid HaChacham and from Rabbanim, he'll never want to support any yeshivas for the rest of his life. So he says, not that I compromised because I needed money for the yeshiva. Nah, he'll get money from someone else. No, but he says, I have the alternative of either being machshel him in one avera, or machshel him in the other avera. Either machshel him that he should be a sein eteira, which is a terrible avera, machshel him in an avera tana that he won't share bracha. So the whole bracha is only with the Rabbanim. So he'll eat without until he dies. So no, until he dies is only with the Rabbanim. But to be marshal a person in the Avera becoming a Sene Torah, a Sene Adah, so that's a greater Avera. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman showed Rabbi Schlesinger, that's what he writes in his essay. He says Rabbi Schlesinger to look in that shuva about his situation also. If you force the child to eat the matzah now, so if this is the case, so he will rebel and he won't want to eat matzah for the rest of his life. And if you won't force him, then you think that in a year or two he's going to straighten out and he'll eat the matzah. So then he says, of course, he does do the chin of their eyes. You don't force him to eat the matzah. It's not a pleasure. It will be a listener either to force and teach them.
Sometimes since rather than the year,
the guy showed up in the house, it was ready, one bear,
the other day, and
he had the situation. So that's to invite the person in the first place. He's going to invite all the Zalabas.
Okay, that's
a long story. Yeah. Got to figure it out.
That'll be different.
Yeah, but sometimes it wouldn't be different. Sometimes it's three against the Talmid HaChacham. Why not Makariv other people? But then it's like the Yevon also. Yeah.
Two questions. One,
well,
was the
Chavetz
Chaim's question about why they brought in the negative thing about Sarah? Don't we learn out the lesson from there that it's a mitzvah to lie to the state of Shaw?
Yeah.
Could that be the reason why the Torah was?
Could be.
My other question is, if you say the Tzimut that we see here is the rice general, but on the Kratim is the Rabban, and aren't there people who say that there's no mitzvah on the Kratim at all?
No, the Gemara says you have to see to it that the child sits in the sukkah, that he eats the matzah, and so on. And the question, does it mean that the child, the Yinit Shalachem, let's say, the Yinit Shalachem on the lulav, does it mean that you should see to it that the child is yetzer the mitzvah? Or is it sufficient if the child just does the maisan mitzvah, even if he's not yetzer? But you certainly have to see to it that he does at least the maisan mitzvah, and perhaps even to do the kiyumah mitzvah. That's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, whether he needs shalachem, whether the chinuch means that he should see to it that he's mekayem the mitzvah of the Torah and the Tzibur of Yom. Then Avraham Avinu is told by Hakadosh Baruch Hu that he thinks to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of all of their sins. Avraham Avinu is mispalel for them. Even though they're such terrible rishonim, he's mispalel for them. So he pleads with HaKadosh Baruch Hu several times that he shouldn't get angry. Ayicha la'adaynay va'adabera ulay ben itad Hashem. Ayicha, says twice, Ayicha la'ashem va'adabera hachafon. What do you mean Ayicha? A person davens, let's say davens shmonesim, so he asks for panosim. and we ask for good marks on the exams. We ask for Hasidic. We ask for all kinds of things. Keep on asking for the poor. We ask for Mashiach. We don't say don't get angry. You keep on asking and asking. And listen, keep on asking the whole time. So what is Avraham Avinu? That's what you always daven like that. You always daven. You keep on asking. So it is not good for that yet. But the Rebbe Shem gave us permission to daven. So what does it mean? The Rebbe Shem never gave Avraham Avinu permission to daven. Well, he told him what he plans to do. So obviously, there is room to negotiate. So what does Avraham Avinu say? Yadichar. So Rav Elzel points out that the Targum Munkelis on Tosek Chav Gimel has Vayigash Avraham Vayomar Haf Hiset Tzadikim Roshon. So the first shot ha'af means Gankeng. Will you also kill the Tzadikim with the Roshon? That's not fair. So the Targum Munkelis has a different shot. Ha'af. Af means Charon Af. Vayichar Afo. Aviragas, the shape is Zato in Chayov. The Targum translates the word of the prophet differently. That will you destroy, will you kill a tzaddikim with the Rishon in your anger? Ha'af, not will you also. The word af doesn't mean gamken. Will you also kill a tzaddik with the Rosha? Means will you kill a tzaddik with the Rosha in your anger? Because it says in Rosha, tzaddik in Rosha. So it says the tzaddik with the Rosha. So what does it say twice? Af in im. Will you also kill a tzaddik with the Rosha? When you say you started with the Russia, that means also started with the Russia. So that's why the Targum Unkula says Af means Karona, Habiragaz. And the Gemara says in different places, the Gemara says that Kimish and Ikar Rishus Lahash, Lamashkis Lahashkis, Shuret, Eina Matkin, Bein Sadik, La Russia. Means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, sometimes he gives permission to the Malach HaMashkis to kill everybody. So that's what Avraham Avinu is pleading, are you angry now? And that's why you want to wipe out the tzaddikim with the Rishoyim. Al yichar, al yichar. Don't be angry. Doesn't say, don't be angry, give me money. Don't be angry, give me good marks. Don't be angry, I want to have good looks. Don't be angry, I want to refuel shleimah. Don't be angry, I want panos. No, that's normal. You don't have to say, don't be angry. But it's going to be angry. Avraham Avinu didn't do anything. And she's done. She should say, don't be angry, give me a break. But Avraham Avinu doesn't have to say, don't be angry. He means, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, he sends Amalach HaMashchis, and he's not Matzim in Tzadik LaRosha. So that's what he starts to say, Ha'af Tispeh, will you wipe out the whole city in Kas, and Kas, and without distinguishing between Tzadikim and Rishonim? No, don't be angry, don't be angry. Only punish the Rishonim, but don't punish the Tzadikim. That's the Bior of the Tzadikim. So Avraham Avinu is mispalel, but he's mispalel for more than that. He's mispalel not only don't be angry, don't kill the tzaddikim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Kas, he'll kill the tzaddikim, agav the Rishoyim also. So he says, don't be angry, don't kill the tzaddikim, and agav the tzaddikim, don't even kill the Rishoyim. What kind of a twist is that? The most Yisrael HaMakam Amar Chamishim HaTzaddikim HaShed Dikir Bar Miskus, so the 50 tzaddikim, you should spare all the 5 cities. Some of Amor, Admor, Tzoyim, and Tzoar. The 5th city Tzoar had a break later on. That's the low plan away, so Tzoar wasn't destroyed. But the original plan was that all the 5 cities, that was the king, the fight between the 4 kings and the 5 kings, so the 5 cities, the 5 towns, they were all together, the ship was here. So the whole 5 towns, this area, was supposed to be wiped out. And then the 4 were wiped out, and so I was left, because that's where Lot went. So what was this twist all of a sudden? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry and gives his shus l'mashkes l'hashkes, so he ain't a machim and tzadik l'rosh, he kills the tzadikim also. And when he's not angry, so he only punishes the Rishon, doesn't punish the Tzadikim. And the Hefer Pesach should give the Rishon also a break. What's the dust? So the Sfasemis and the Gemara Tainis quotes from his grandfather, from the Kedusha Rim, that the Medrash says on this passage that these are Tzadikim Nivni. These are Shvacha Tzadikim over here that we're talking about. So, fake it. Shvacha Tzadikim. So, therefore what? How does that make any sense? So he says the Kedusha Rim explains Shat in the Medrash that if you would have a city with tzaddikim and Rishoyim, and the tzaddikim would be bona fide tzaddikim, then the Rebbeinu Shlomo would spare the tzaddikim and he would punish the Rishoyim. There's no such concept that in the schus of the tzaddikim he's going to let the Rishoyim remain alive also. But these tzaddikim were shvach tzaddikim. They barely made it. So they were only tzaddikim enough that their lives should be spared. But they didn't deserve so much piersum that everybody in the world should see. The whole city was destroyed except for these 50 tzaddikim. They're not such outstanding tzaddikim. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo, in order not to exaggerate how great the tzaddikim are, would have had to let all the 5 cities remain intact. Agav the tzaddikim. That's what the Medrash says, tzaddikim nivli. If they would have been real tzaddikim, the Baruch Hu would destroy the whole cities, all the five cities, and just spare the tzaddikim. They deserved Yeshua, they deserved Plato, and they even deserved that it should be Nikar, that they are tzaddikim, they're outstanding tzaddikim. But if they don't deserve that much, they're not such outstanding tzaddikim, they just barely make it. They just barely deserve that they should remain alive by the skin of their teeth. Then they don't deserve that it should be so conspicuous. So with this, the Sasem is the grandson of the Kedush Arim and Tainus, interprets the Gemara. The Gemara says there that there was once a fire in a city, and half of the city was destroyed, and the other half of the city remained intact. So the Gemara says that Rab lived in the other half of the city. So you shouldn't think that it was an exclusive of Rab. No, it was an exclusive of a certain doctor. That when he used to treat the men and the women, he had separate rooms for the men, separate rooms for the women. And when he treated the women, he put on a big robe that their body shouldn't be exposed. And whoever couldn't afford the medication, he gave him for nothing, and he gave him a ton, a hole, all the Midas Chassidus are the wonderful doctor. He didn't, he treated the patients nicely and sneezed, and all a good result. So the Mashur and the other Mephoshim and the Gemara don't understand. The other Gemara have a direct pipeline to heaven. They knew that the half of the city that was spared was an exclusive of the doctor, not an exclusive of the Rav. And what would be so bad if they say it was an exclusive of Rav? Why do they have to knock Rav for? They say it's an exclusive of Rav and the doctor. So they give different interpretations. So the Sfasem is right, based on what he heard from his grandfather, from the Kedush Arim, he understands what Pshat and the Gemara is. If it would be an exclusive of Rav, the whole city, let's say this is the city and Rav lives over here, the whole city would burn down and only Rav's house would stand intact. Because Rav was such an outstanding tzaddik, he deserved the Hatzolah. And he deserved even a hatzol that it should be nicker, that it should be noticeable, that everybody will see that he's such an outstanding tzaddik. All around him, all the houses burnt down, and only his house miraculously was spared. But the answer is, there was a doctor there. The doctor was also a great tzaddik, but he wasn't as great as Rav. The doctor deserved the hatzol, but he didn't deserve that it should be so conspicuous, that it should be so noticeable, that he's such a tzaddik, that all the houses around him burnt down, and his house didn't burn down. No, he did. The Gemara describes how great he was, but he wasn't as great as Rav. That's how the Sfasem says. The Pashra Nigmar means Fakeris, that this doctor had more Tzkusim than Rav because he was so devoted. So the Sfasem says, based on what he heard from his grandfather, is Fakeris. The greater the tzaddik is, so the less he's matzal on anybody. He's only matzal on himself, and he deserves the Yeshua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't love the Jewish people because they are arrogant, but rather ki atem ha'mat, atem ma'atim es atzmechem. Afilu b'shoah shaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpi aleinu, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a lot, and a lot of money, and a lot of hatzlocha, and everything goes our way, the Jewish people, generally speaking, is humble. They are not arrogant. And then the Gemara quotes different tzaddikim who had different madregas of humility. So the Gemara says that David HaMelech describes himself, HaMelech Pelas V'lo Yish. I'm only a worm, I don't really deserve the title of a human being, of a person. And Avraham Avinu was even lower than a worm in his humility. He said, HaMelech Yopavei, if I'm like dust and like ashes, and Moshe B'Yaron, I'm even greater in humility than Avraham Avinu, because they say, V'nachnu Mo. He said, what are we? We're even lower than dust and ashes. So David, God la never be Avraham Avinu Yosim Mashenemer be David, the God la never be Moshe be Aaron Yosim Mashenemer be Avraham Avinu. The different madrigas of humility. So that's how the Gemara takes it. That this statement, Anochi Yaakov Eicher, actually quotes the Medrash a whole different interpretation. It would have been Eicher, it would have been this, a whole different shot. But this is how the Gemara understands one opinion in the Gemara. Different interpretations in the Medrash. So the Gemara has this interpretation. Anochi Yaakov Eicher, this was a madriga of humility. So Avraham Avinu keeps on tining and negotiating less and less. What kind of an idea was it that Lot wanted to give his daughters to the Anshei Sodom to do whatever they want rather than let them take these two men? because Rashi quotes in the Medrash that the people of Sodom wanted to violate Mishkan Zohar. And Mishkan Zohar is from the Shevin of Bnei Noach. That's part of the Din of Gilui Arayis. Now, anything, the daughters were not married, and even though apparently they were engaged to be married, but they were Shelo Yodawish. They hadn't had the deal yet. And the Gemara says, the Bula Sal Yeshlahem, Yichna Silver Kopu Vela Yivala Einlahem. That's how the Gemara comments on the Pasuk letter. Hashe Beishu Sishku. Hashe, no, how does it say? Vihi Bula Zbol. It says, Vihi Bula Zbol. The Gemara comments, Bula Sal Yeshlahem, that by Goyim, the only form of Ishus they have is Aydebi. They don't have Kedusha Kesef. They don't have Kedusha Shtar. They don't have Yichna Silver Kopu Vela Yivala. They don't have anything like that. But that's what the Pasuk says over here. He wanted to save the people of Sodom from violating an Avera Chamura, so he said, do a lesser Aver. Why is it a lesser Aver? Because the daughters, although they were engaged to get married, but they hadn't yet had the issues. The issues wasn't completed yet. He wanted to lessen their Aver. Because it says that when the Malachim are trying to save Lot, Vayisma Hamo, Vayachziku Hanoshim Biyodu Biyarishta, why did he Vayisma Hamo? The Rashi says, Tidei Lahatzalos Mamono. He wanted to take as much of his money as he possibly could. And the people said, and the Malachim said, you better leave all of your property here and run. So it's interesting, if you look in the previous parasha in Lech Lecha, when there was a rib, Bein Roi Miknei Avram, Bein Roi Miknei Lot, and then Avram said, what do we have to fight for? Let's you move. Wherever you go, I'll go in a different direction. And there's enough room for everybody here. So why did Lot decide to live in Sodom? So the prophet says that he saw that they were so rich in that neighborhood. He saw that he was the materialism. Caught his eye. He wanted to live a materialistic life, so he was drawn to the money. The other passage describes it, because he lived in Sodom and he made a fortune, and then he had to run away. When the whole city was destroyed, he wanted to save some of his money. Kedei Lahatzalos Mamono, and the Malachim didn't let, so he had to leave the city penniless. And the whole desire that he had to live there was because of the money, and then he lost all the money also. But the Medrash has a comment on Iran Idachas. When you have a city where the majority of the people, a city in Eretz, the majority of the people worship Avodah Zarah, so the Torah says you have to kill, of course, all the people of worship of Israel. You have to destroy all of the property that belongs to the inhabitants of the city, even the Nichtzit Tzadikim should be served. Not only the property that belongs to those people of worship of Israel, even the Nichtzit Tzadikim. So the question is, but the Tzadikim, why are they guilty? Why should you destroy their property just like you don't kill them? You don't kill their bodies, so why should you destroy their property? They don't deserve any punishment. So the Medrash answers, Ma Goram Lahem La Tzadikim, what attracted the Tzadikim to live in such a wicked city where the majority of the people, more than 50% of the people, worship Avodah Zarah? What drew them to live in the city? So the answer is, the money. Mamainam. They must have been attracted to move to the city because of materialistic considerations. Otherwise, a normal person in his right mind would live in a religious community. He lives in Borough Park, Monsi, Lethbridge. Why should a person live in an Iran Idaka? The entries are distracted because of the money, so that's why the Torah says you're going to burn your money. So that's exactly what happened over here by Lot. That Lot was attracted to this dumb because of the money, because of the materialism, and then he lost all of his money. The Malachim told them that when they leave the city, you shouldn't turn behind. That although they deserve the... although they deserve to be nitzal, but they weren't such great tzaddikim that they should deserve to see the other suffering. Rashi quotes, you didn't really deserve to even to be nitzal, it's only the Sus Avram, the Pasuk says. Lot and his wife and his children, his daughters, were only nitzal in the Sus of Avram, I mean, they weren't even nitzal in their own Sus. So therefore, Ein Chekidai Lirish Bikur Anusam, Hiyata Nitzal, you don't deserve to see the way they are suffering. So they told Maltavit Acharecha, so the Pasuk says that Eishes Lot turned to look behind, so the Gemara assumes that the pshat is that she turned into a pillar of salt. And the end of bracha discusses what bracha you say when you see Eishes Lot, the pillar of salt. The Chazkuni on the pasuk interprets a whole different pshat. So really, again, the Gemara says the kikar hayarden turned into a nitziv melach, because it says Hashem himtir al sdom v'alamar gafris v'eish min hashamayim. Gopris was a lot of salt, so the whole plain, the whole region turned into a, a salty area about tahinis is melach, but it doesn't declench it, it doesn't describe at all what happened to Eishes Lo. The description of what happened to the Kika Hayad. The daughters of Lo thought that they're doing a Vashem, that's what Rashi says. From often Shem, Vashem, who they do them. Plus it's called Dalit and Territory Test. Vashem, him, Tiyat, Yom, Alamar, Gothic Race. Meyes Hashem in Ashmai. Why does it say again, Meyes Hashem? A funny question. Meyes Hashem. It says Vashem, him, Tiyat, Yom. Why does it say Meyes Hashem? They quote from the Driskarov that he commented based on the Rashi. The Rashi quotes from the Medrash that originally the Tchila, Motov, and Ashmai, Gothic Race. Rashi quotes the Medrash that originally the Baruch Shalom caused the terrain as done. Then maybe the rain will be more than the tshuva. Maybe they'll realize that they did something wrong. And then as it was raining, he saw that they're not being close to the tshuva. So then he converted the rain into Gafas Reish Men HaShemayim, and it totally destroyed the city. So the Gemara says on the first daf in Tainis that there were Sholosh Matochas that are Biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives over, Biyad HaShaliach, Biyad HaMalochim, that they take care of it. And there are three things that the Ribbono Shel Olam does in person. So one of them is Gishomim. One of them is Kriyas HaMeisim, the Pesukim say, one of them is Kaya, when a woman has a baby. That's directly Meyes Hashem. So that's how Rav Avol commented on Tosfos. Hashem Himter Azom Amor Rashem Hu Beis Dina Gidi. Meyes Hashem, Min HaShemayim means Meyes Hashem, it started off as rain. And rain is directly Meyes Hashem. That's one of the Gimel Maftochot that's Giyar HaShakadosh Baruch Hu. And then it turned to Gafas Reish, that's Min HaShemayim. It converted into Gafas Reish. The only reason why Lot was Nitzel was not in his own truth, because Lot didn't really deserve a Yeshua. That's what Rashi said before. How does he say? How does he say? After he shot the Imam, the Skus Avram at Anitza. Only the Skus Avram. It's so striking the way the Pesukim described that he made such a mistake. We all make those kind of wild mistakes. We have such a mistaken perception of what's happening in the world. Everybody thinks that he's the center of the world and everything revolves about him. Look over here, Lot and his two daughters thought that the whole world was destroyed. It's like in the days of Noah. There was a marble, everything was destroyed except for Noah. He was on a table. Noach was told that that's what's happening. I thought his brother told him, so he had a correct perception. Lot was never told, he was told by the Malachim that they're destroying the cities, the five towns. He didn't tell him what else was going to be destroyed, so he and his daughters had a mistaken perception that the whole world is destroyed, and Avram Avinu is dead, and there's no one alive. These same boys, love all the Kederach Kol Ha'aretz. They only wanted to marry a boy from the five towns, unless he's a boy from New Jersey. From Manhattan is no good. No, he thought the whole world was destroyed. He thought the only people who are alive are the father with the two daughters. And he thought that just like in the beginning of creation, Olam Chesed Yibane, Kayin married his sister. They had no brera. And Sheikh married his sister. They had to marry their sister. So too, they'll have to be with the father, Panashtas Ravinu Yoin, and the Chayim Yavinu Zara. Otherwise, the whole world is that there won't be any human beings alive anymore. What a terrible mistake they made, Avram. They were only Nitzel in the schlust of Avram. And it was only four cities were destroyed. Only four cities. The rest of the world remained. In fact, such a mistaken perception. A lot of times people make that mistake. People, especially in Kiruv work, they think we're saving the whole world, we're saving Yiddishkeit. Therefore, we have to be makel a little bit. Sometimes you have to be makel. But sometimes we're so mistaken, what do you mean? I'm going to save the whole world. Your being makel, in this case, may cause a bigger kilkul than it'll bring about a tikkun. What do you mean you're saving the world? There are other Jews all over in the world. Without your tikkun over here, Yiddishkeit will continue anyway. Sometimes Allah requires that you have to bend a little bit, and sometimes not. So we shouldn't have such a mistaken perception that this act of fear of work that I'm doing is going to save the whole world. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. The Gemara speaks about the pros and the cons of the Bechira and the Tzeira. So the Gemara says the Bechira did it with the Aniyah Zaitan, according to their perception, they were doing a Gevaldiga Mitzvah. They were saving the whole world. Olam Chesed Yibon. It turned out that it was Gili Arai. He's not Mish, but they didn't realize that. So they thought that they're saving the whole world. So the Kachira did a bigger mitzvah, ran to do the mitzvah. He says, V'yolim yatam adam ledra mitzvah. You should always run to do a mitzvah, that because the Bechira was with the father the first night, and he was with the father the second night, that's why the descendants of the Bechira are Moab, and the descendants of the Tzira are Ammon, and Moab, people from Moab, entered into the Jewish people a few generations before people from Ammon in history, because Ruth Amavia was a significant figure in Tanakh, and she entered the Jewish people earlier than Naam HaMoinis. Naam HaMoinis was the wife of Shlomo, no? I think. No? Naam HaMoinis was the wife of one of the wives of Shlomo. I had a lot of wives. I think so. So the Gemara says, on the one hand, the Bechira got reward and the Tzira lost out that reward. But on the other hand, the Gemara says that you have to be careful the way you speak. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives reward even for Sticha Noah, even for Lashon Nekiyah. First, we discussed whether the Mishnah is called Beitzah or Beyon. First day we discussed. So this is the original Gemara in Bava Kamma. So the Gemara says they both named the child after the fact that the child was born from the wrong father. The one made it so obvious, Moav, from my father. The other one says, Amon, from my nation. He didn't intermarry. She didn't marry someone from a different nation. She happened to be there. It was a father, pretty close member of the nation. But the other one called the baby Moav. So because the Tzira had used much more of a Lashon Nekiyah, so that's why in later generations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atata Esmava, Shishka Ba Mochama, and he told him about Ammon more than that. That Ammon was treated, Rashi said, the Moav LeHizrael Shalom Yilochim Bom, Abel Atzar and Hitzalom. And Ammon, they were commanded not even to be in the Tzaribim. And Rashi quotes that was the reward that the Tzira got for using Lashon Nekiyah. We live in a very vulgar society. So this is even if we don't do vulgar acts, but many of us still speak vulgar speech. So we should really be medactic about this. Even very religious people are not too careful about the sin of Lashon Nekiyah. The pasuk describes the way Avraham Avinu was so, that's how Rashi quotes in the matter, she was so dead and barren. Lot and his daughters thought that they're saving the whole world, and it came out the whole world printed in the newspaper that Lot thought the world was going on. Just there was a little catastrophe over there. Five cities were destroyed. The rest of the world heard about it, that he had children with his daughter. So Avram was embarrassed and he ran away from Eretz. He went to the Gaza Strip to visit Abimelech, Melech Gro. And then later on, he makes a Kreisah's Bris with Abimelech, Melech Gro. He makes a Kreisah's Bris with him. We have Maisav, Simel Abonim. We discussed one of the next Bris, about Lech Lecho. But Talmud, the Shekibul Alein, we saw the Simcha, Adayim, Kaim, and Moshe, the Simcha, the same thing right here. Adayim Yamazel had trouble from the Gaza Strip, because Avraham Avinu made a Kreisah's Bris with him, but he, without permission. Rashbam says that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is angry as anything. He saw us Abraham, the whole Akedah, the Rashbam interprets, was a punishment to Avraham Avinu. The Medrash always depicts it as the Asara Nisayon. This was the 10th Nisayon, the most difficult Nisayon, that he should bring his son as a korban. And the Rashbam has a famous comment on the pasuk. He says that this was a Vayachar Advan Ho'ela means that it's a hemshech from Vayichus to Brit with their Shavah. Hemshah fit a Christmas bris. The Bansham was angry. He said, why did you make a Christmas bris with them? You have to chase them all out. What do you mean you're going to let the Arabs live in Eretz? So I gave you Eretz Israel, and I said, Lois Lechai Kol Neshama, you have to chase out all those people that don't belong there. Who told you to make a Christmas bris without permission? That's the Rashbam's interpretation on the topic. That's Arayan Azeh. We're still suffering from that. Because Rav Avinu went to Gror. He went to that section, and he thought, no, we'll let them stay there. We'll make a Christmas bris. We're still suffering today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Abimelech, Melech Gro, Dai, Menecho, Hoshev Eishu Mishkin Abihu, Menecho Meishiv, Da, Ki Mos Tamuz, Atov Echol HaSholot. Is that clear? Mos Tamuz, because he's taking an Eishu Tish. Hoshev Eishu Tish. Put the other guy's life, give it back. Most come with, why call Hashalach? Why should all the other people be punished also? But Rambam has a comment on and the story that the Ramban Achum quotes from the Rambam in the Yad HaZot and Hilchos Melachim, that why did the Bnei Yaakov have a right to wipe out the city Shechem? Did they have a right to wipe out the city Shechem? So Yaakov was angry at them, but he was angry for political reasons, it would appear. He says, now you do this mitzvah to wipe out the city, but he didn't say it was outright murder. He didn't scream. He said, now is the time to do mitzvahs. You have to use your seich a little bit, you know, when you do a mitzvah and when you don't do a mitzvah. But apparently they did the right thing by killing them. What right did they have to kill Anshe Shechem? So the Raman writes, because Shechem ben Hamor attacked Dino, and that was an avera, so the people of Shechem, the people of that city, should have punished Shechem ben Hamor. Even though he was the Nesihar, he was the president, he was the mayor. If the mayor cheats on income tax, you have to put him in jail. You have to impeach him. And even though he's the founder, the city is called Shechem. He's the founder. You can be George Washington, the founder of the father of the American nation. If you do an avera, so the people have to punish you. So the people of Shechem, Anshe Shechem, should have really punished Shechem ben Hamor. So because they didn't punish him, the Rambam claims that's why they deserved the Noinish Bidei Adam, because they violated Dinah. Dinah means that the one of the Sheva Mitzvahs in America is Dinim. So Dinim, the Rambam writes, Dinim includes that you have to establish a court system and you have to punish the people who are guilty of crime. If you don't establish a court system, or you have one, but it doesn't function well, you don't punish the people who are criminals, then Azeratim Zilim Mitzvahsim, and the Benoyach is Kai Mitzvah. The Rambam Chumash disagrees with the Rambam. He says, how can you say that? That because I did an Aver B'Shega Al-Kasi, they deserve it on Yishmisa, if they would eat Eiv Menachai, if they would do Gezel, if they would do Gilei Arayis B'Kum V'Yaseh, if they would do Avodah Zarah B'Chas Hashem B'Kum V'Yaseh, they deserve an Einish Azeratim Zilim Mitzvahsim. But because they fail to observe the mitzvah of Dinim, that's why they deserve an Einish Misa. How can you say? Just like we have a Din that Alav Sheinu Maisa, there's no Malkus, and the should be similar by Bnei Noach, that an Avera violated B'Shei V'Yaltasa, it's not an Avera, they didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Dinim. So they deserve an Einish Misa B'Dei Yodim. So the Rambam gives a different explanation why the Bnei Yaakov really had the legitimate right to kill him. But here, the Pasuk is not speaking to Bnei Yodim, it's speaking to Bnei Shammai. Hashem tells Avi Melech, Melech Dua, the main chamesh of that he might come us, I will kill you. Lisa B'Dei Shammai. The Chol HaShalach and all of the people who hang around you, because they know that the woman is an Eish Yisish, and they're not punishing you. Ah, you're the king. What are they supposed to do? If the king does an Avera, you have to impeach the king. You have to put him in jail, or you have to give him an Einish Misa, whatever Einish he deserves. And if the people don't do it, so at least the Dinah Shemayim, they deserve an Einish for failing to fulfill the mitzvah of Dinah. The Dinah Yodem is the Machlech, is the Rambam and the Rambam, but Dinah Shemayim certainly. So Avi Melech right away complies and he gives back to Avram. And he says, why did you do such a crazy thing? Why did you say that it's your sister? So Avram Avinu says, Ki amarte rak en yuris alukim amokam azeva haraguni al dvarishti. This is so true. Even the most cultured nations of the world and the most civilized individuals and the most civilized people, if they lack Yerushalayim, you cannot rely on the civility or on the culture or anything that they have. If there's a lack of Yerushalayim, the person will kill you if he so desires, unless the police will arrest him. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Avos Tal B'Shlam Shamach Shalmar Meroi Ish Yisrael Yerushalayim Lo. It's true. People would kill each other because they're lack of Yerushalayim. Whenever there's any competition, whenever someone is jealous of someone else, if not for the fact, either you have Yerushalayim to hold you back from killing the other person, from getting rid of your competition, or if you don't have Yerushalayim, then it's just the Moira HaMalchus, people are afraid of the police. But if there's no pocket from the police, no Yerushalayim, it's Haraguni Al Varishti. Unfortunately, that's the true truth. Yerushalayim is the Iker. Toit Dabor. It's a Lakim Yerup, he's there, Tal Ha'odom. Because it says at the close of Kohelet that this is the definition of a human being. That's how the Bali Musa used to say, Pshat and the Pasuk, that you shouldn't say that a person who lacks Yerushalayim is also a human being. But if he has Yerushalayim, then he has a Maila. Let's say a person is good looking, he's very bright, and has a lot of money, and has a lot of learning. Man, so he's a Maila. Even if he's not good looking, he's also a human being. He doesn't have a lot of money, doesn't have a lot of talking, he's also a human being. These are Mailas that he has. You say that a person has Yerushalayim, that's a Maila. A person without Yerushalayim, he doesn't have the Maila. The Pasuk says no. So if Dovor is a Vikim Yerovitz, he's not the Smut. He's there called out, and this is the definition of a person. A person without Yerushalayim is Nishkin Mensch. Nishkin Mensch in the Haraguni. Yerushalayim is quite an Ikim in life. samadhi that's missing a lot. It's always missing. It's not, I don't know if it's more so this generation than previous generation. Rare commodity. Pasuk says that Avraham Avinu made a brit mila with his son Yitzchak on Shmini, and he threw a big party. When did he throw the party? So the pasuk shot is he made the party when he was 2 years old. Vayigdal ha'yelad, here it says, Vayamal Avraham Yitzchak b'lai menshman ha'atam kashik tivoto alakim. And then it says in Shiat in Pasuk Tedalad, then it says in Pasuk Ches, Vayigdal ha'yelad vayigomal, probably was 2 years old. Made a party when the baby was 2 years old. That's the simple pshat. Tesis in Masechah Shabbos quotes a medrash on the Tosfos Biyom Hei Gimel Mol. Biyom Hag Molas Yitzchak. That he made a party on the day of the Bris Mila. Hei and Gimel is the gematria of Hei. Ayas Avam Ishtei Gadol. He threw a big party. Biyom Hei Gimel Molas Yitzchak. On the eighth day when he made the Bris Mila, made a party. Mikan, the medrash says, in this passage you see that it's proper to make a party when you make a brit mila. Yankee Femnin writes Tochachas Musa, and one of his sons, he was a moil. He has a whole state of that brit mila. He did a lot of things. Jack of all things. And so in the state on brit mila, so he writes Tochachas Musa, and he lives in Germany. So he writes that the German communities, a lot of them are very mezalzel. In the Suda's brit mila, they just have cookies and coffee and that's it. And he says, it's not right. You're supposed to have a real bona fide party. A real suda, some pasuk say that you're not getting to the suda of this mila unless you have basa of yayin. Yayin, we all agree you should have basa as a shabbat. That's why in the 9 days, when you have a bris, you know the 9 days you don't eat flesh, but when you have a bris, you eat flesh. Why? All year long you make a bris, you don't eat flesh, except for the 9 days the answer is no. Their meaning was that all year long they gay flesh. They gay flesh. So in the 9 days you also give it. If your practice is that all year long when you have a bris, you don't give a fleishig meal, so then 9 days you're not supposed to give a fleishig meal either. If all year long you have fleishigs, then you have a bris on Friday, that's a machloikis. Among the Avon quotes from the Shalor HaKodesh, that is, Rabbein had a dispute. When he went, the Shalor writes, he went to a bris on Friday morning when he learned by his Rabbein. So one Rebbe ate fleishigs, the other Rebbe didn't eat fleishigs. So the Rebbe Shabbos, you're not supposed to have a fleishig meal. Part of Kod Shabbos means you should do hachonas in advance. Oinig means, the Vilna Gaon writes in the Bi'ur HaGaon Arachayim, what chitken kibud v'yoinig? So others give different chilukim, but the Gaon says that kibud means the hachanas that you do in advance of Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, and onig is the enjoyment, the pleasure that you derive on Shabbos. You put the chont on the fire, that's kibud. You eat the chont on Shabbos, that's onig. You set the table, that's kibud on Friday. When you enjoy the fact that the table is set nicely, that's onig. When you bench lift, that's kibud. And when you enjoy the fact that the house is lit up, that's onig. For the
why
we take away from the kibbutz. So on Erev Shabbos you have to do hachonis for Shabbos. So the Gemara says in Gittin that it's not proper to have a big seder on Erev Shabbos. Because then on Friday night you won't really enjoy that seder as much because you just had a big pleishig meal on Friday. People who travel on the airlines know when, whenever you order a kosher meal, so usually if it's either the afternoon or the evening, so they'll always give you a fleishig meal. So if you're traveling on a Friday, so it's not right. You shouldn't have a fleishig meal on Friday. So the Shaila is, what about if you have a bris mila on Friday morning? Are you permitted to eat fleishig or not? So that's what the Shalom quotes, that is Rabbein had a machleik. So those who held that as soon as bris mila in the chuyer to have basar, so you have no breris, you have to eat basar even though it's Friday. That's a yom tov is on Friday, so eat fleishig. Those who held that nikra then you can be as soon as this nikra with milk is also. And just a nikra chassidus and a hida mitzvah. So then you don't do that hida mitzvah on Friday because it will be in conflict with the din of Kleshan. Rashi has a comment to quote the medish. Why is it called the mishte gadol? Because all the gdoli hadar were there. A play on words. Mishte gadol and mishte for the gdoli hadar. How does the medish know that that's so? So this thing doesn't happen. The Sifse Chafanim says, because if the word Gadol is an adjective of Mishta, then it should say Mishta Gidolam, because Mishta is Lashon HaTeivah. But a joke, Mishta is never Lashon HaTeivah. A couple of things like that in the Sifse Chachamim spread out throughout Chumash, that Mamash a joke. There is no such thing. The word Mishta is always Lashon HaTeivah, never Lashon HaTeivah. He said, that's what that was the hechrich of the medrash. So it says mishta gadol mishta for the gedolei hador, because if it's just a simple adjective of the word mishta, it should have said mishta gadol. Ramayim was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should get rid of his son Yishmael, which he did. And he gave him some to use to call upon Zerah. But only Zerah Avraham is only Yitzchak. Yishmael, the Goyim are not, the Arabs who are descended from Yishmael are not considered Zerah Avraham. Yitzchak was the son of his wife, and Yishmael was the son of his two legs. Chava was only a two legs. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yitzchak call upon Zerah. It's interesting, the Rambam writes a lashon that Avraham Avinu taught everything that he knew about monotheism, about the religion, to his son Yitzchak. And Yitzchak transmitted everything to Yaakov, and he was mitzvah him. And he was mamana him to take over this religion, to take charge of this religion. Why doesn't the Rambam write the same regarding Avraham, that he was mitzvah Yitzchak? The Rabbi Hutner, the Tanur Rosh, has a whole drasha about this in one of his sparim. But also Rabbi Yanki Kamenetsky has a comment on the pasuk in today's sefer. He says, his pasuk was, the Rambam doesn't have to write that Avraham gave over in charge Yitzchak with the running the religion. You only have one son, Yitzchak. Yitzchak called off Hazara, the Rabbi Shem called him. That's it. So of course he had to give it over to Yitzchak. He had no brera. But Yitzchak had twin sons. He had Yanki the Esau. It's not that one was from his wife and one was from a few legates. They were both from the same wife. They're mamish twins. And Esau was older than Yaakov. So that's a chiddush. The Rambam says that Yitzchak singled out Yaakov, and he was mitzvah Yaakov, I'm going to give it over to you. But you can't just write in the mail that Yitzchak taught Yaakov and he took over the religion. He taught them both. They were both mourned by him. The Gemara says that Esau was Yisrael Muma. He was Jewish. His mother was Jewish. He was Jewish also. He was Yisrael Muma. Then Avraham Avinu made a treaty with Abimelech, and then it says, "Rochiach Avraham is Abimelech aladot b'yamam shegaz la'abdei Abimelech. Oyam Abimelech lo yadai k'miyasa sadav azel gamatole. Igarte lo gamanech lo shemai tibulti hayom." Why is this put together with the treaty? Maybe the treaty is elochud. It should be a stufa, stufa, a separate story. It should be written before or after. Why is Imamish in connection with the treaty bridge? Rav Elvelin used to say the name of Rav Chaim, that the Rambam writes a din, that when you conquer territories in Eretz Yisrael, says a din l'sechai kol neshama, you have to wipe out all the enemy. But when you conquer other territories, so it depends. If the people are prepared to accept Shevin Mitzvah Din Inayah, they let them live. If they're not prepared to accept Shevin Mitzvah Din Inayah, you have to wipe them out. You know, they're not the designers. You're not permitted to make increases with a nation unless they are prepared to accept Shevin Mitzvah Din Inayah. So here, Avraham Avinu says, he raised Adi, Vayom Avimelech, Halakimim Kovachol HaShavata. He said, now we'll make a Kriyas Bris. Nochi Yishaveh. Vayichus Hushneim Bris. They made a Bris. What do you mean they made a Bris? They're about to make the Bris. And then he says, just a minute, I can only make a Bris with you if you are prepared to accept Shevin Mitzvah Din Inayah. He says, 100%? What's the Shad? He says, 100%. And what about the Be'er Shagozlav the Avimelech? You people are Ganavim. You violate the neighbor all the time. What do you mean? You're Makabal Shevin Mitzvah, and then you're going to violate them? What kind of a Kabbalah's on mitzvah is that? He says, I don't know what you're talking about. I never heard of it. I never heard of it. I'll give you back the bear, and I'll find out who did it, and I'll punish him. So he says, Adar Rabbi, he's prepared to observe Shevin Mitzvah's in the night. Why did the Pasuk write a double lashon? Lo yadayti miyasas hadar azera gamatola, he got it to me, gamanech lo shemayti bilti hayom. Why such an arich is boring? The Rav Elvelin had a comment on this also. He explained that the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, when he quotes the dinim of the Shevin Mitzvahs Dinim Erech, writes, one of the Shevin Mitzvahs is dinim, and dinim contains two aspects. Number one, if you know that someone did an Aveira, you have to establish courts of law. And you have to punish offenders of the law. If you know who the offender is, you have to punish him. Then the Rambam writes, and if you don't know who the offenders are, but you know that there are Gnagas going around, you know that there are people are Ma'anis girls, you know that people are violating the din of Eitz Yisrael, whatever. So if you know that there are violations, then the Rambam writes, part of the din of dinim, part of the mitzvah dinim is that the umasara mamachoyev to give tachach in general. If they know who the particular person is who violated any specific avera, they're obligated to penalize that person. If they don't know who the person is, but they know that there is a hisrashlus in shmiras hamitzvah of the sheva mitzvahs b'ninoya, then they have to give general tachach to the public, the hazaras on. So that's what Avimelech is misnachdil. He says, Avram says, are you prepared to accept sheva mitzvahs b'ninoch? Otherwise I can't make it Christmas. He says, 100% sheva mitzvahs. We always observe sheva mitzvahs. He says, what do you mean? But someone stole my bear. I don't know who did it. If I would have known who did it, I would have punished him. And I didn't know that the Gnever occurred. I didn't even hear till today that such a thing happened. If I would have heard that it happened, I would have given a Musa Shmuel. I would have had the police try to find out who did the Gnever. I would have been mochiach the people that they shouldn't gamble. So they made the krisis bris and they took sheva kivsas hatzon. What was the purpose of the sheva kivsas hatzon? That's what Abimelech wants to know. Why am I Abimelech? No, he nesheva kivsas o ela she hitzavta l'adon. Oh, sheva kivsas tikach miyodi bavut yili le'eduk yichafarti es haber azon. The seven sheep are as an testimony that it's my bear. That's why it's called Be'er Sheva. Why Be'er Sheva? Because of the seven cross. It's not Yisham Nishbu's name. Be'er Sheva is because of the Shvua, not because of the number seven. So what's the answer? Abimelech says, what are the seven sheep all about? The seven sheep are a simen that it's my bear. He says, okay. How is that a simen that it's my bear? So obscure. So the Ksav Sofer has a pshat. I don't remember if he says in the name of the Ksav Sofer, he says on his own. Ksav Sofer has a pshat. I remember my building, there used to be this Rabbi Einstad who comes twice a year for Congregation Torah Tzviva as a descendant from the Ksav Sofer. So his parents used to live in my building. His mother is a shreiter. His mother is a descendant. So every year I used to sit in shukkah with his parents. They both passed away a long time ago. So his father, every shukkah, would tell me over the Ksav Sofer on this topic. Very fascinating. The Ksav Sofer says, how did he prove that it was Kichafati Chaber Azot? The Gemara says that Pinchas ben Yoy was a Tana who had a Hamor who was so medactic he wouldn't eat Tevel. The Gemara in the first parish of Chulin talks about the Hamor or Pinchas ben Yoy. The Gemara has a comment. Dimim shanim ke malachim harianu ki bin yodim. Dimim shanim ke yodim harianu ke Hamor. Lo ke Hamor shal Pinchas ben Yoy. That's a madregit. To be like the Hamor, Pinchas ben Yoy is a madregit. So the Ksav Sofer says that Pinchas ben Yoy had such a fine Hamor. So the Stam Avraham Avinu's behemoth will also. Avraham Avinu's behemoth wouldn't eat Min HaGezel. It says in that before. Light let his behemoth eat Min HaGezel and Avraham's wouldn't. So Avraham Avinu said, I'm going to prove to you that this is my bear. You see? These are my behemoths. Now, I'm going to say, behemoths, drink the water. So the behemoths went and they drank the water. Then I said, I'm going to give you the behemoths as a gift. Now they belong to you. Now you see if they're going to drink the water. They wouldn't drink the water. Then he said, give me back the behemoths. They belong to me. I say, drink the water. They drank the water. When it belonged to Avimelech, they wouldn't drink. So they wouldn't drink something that didn't belong to their balabas. When it belonged to Avram, they would drink. So that was the way he gave an Eidah. He says, otherwise you don't understand how the Sheva Kosh is Tikach Miyadi. The Sheva Kosh is Tikach Miyadi. The coin of the behemoths, Babur Pi'ali Li'edu Ki Chafati Esaper, is to prove that the water is mine. How is it a proof? So that's his interpretation. What are you saying? I don't know. Then the Torah writes the story of the Arkadia. Arkadia is considered the highest of all of the ten Nisanis that Avraham Avinu went through. That's considered the greatest of the Nisanis. So all of the Mephoshim ask Akasha, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to you b'nevuah, b'gilishchina, and he tells you to do something, so wouldn't you do it also? Why is it considered such a great madreg on the part of Avraham Avinu? So the simple tarot is that it's still a madreg. So if Avraham comes to me, I'm not so sure that I would kill my son. I don't know. Now that I know that the Torah says, you gotta do it. But that was the first time that it ever happened. I don't know. So all of them, of course, give different interpretations. What was the greatness of Avraham Avinu? And they say all different shots. So the Chasam Sofer has it at the end of Chumash. And Vayelach, I think, not on this part. The Chidush of Chasam Sofer ala Torah, he ends up with an interpretation which I didn't really understand. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzvah him, Lech lechol eretz hanoi v'halei shem yola ala achad hehorim Asher Amayr left on top of one of the mountains. So they, when they were traveling, and he saw the place from a distance. So the Medrash comments on the pasuk, "Vayaris hamakom be'erachot." It wasn't a mountain. Rashi quotes, "Roh onon kosher al hahor," that there was a mountain that had a cloud connected with it on top, and it looked strange. Normally, the cloud, it wasn't such a high mountain that it should have a cloud on it. It's the wrong level. They saw something unusual. He figured that might be the place. But there's a medrash that says, why is it called Machon? Why isn't it called Ahar? It wasn't Ahar. Originally, it was an Emek. And then Avraham Avinu, when he saw that there's Gilu Shechina there, he was Mispalo. Eikar Avraham Shein Machon HaShem Yira Sheyam HaYom Bahar HaShem Yira. This place deserves to be a mountain. We should, Rabbi Hashem should make this into a mountain. So the Chassam Sefer interprets the Tarsha like this. He said, so the medrash comments, Bayaris HaMachon Meirachok, it wasn't Ahar. So what led Avraham Avinu to believe that he should do the Akedah on that spot? Because he saw it as an onon on top of the Emek, and he saw that there was an unusual onon. It wasn't a normal onon, but there was something strange. So he went there, and then he realized this is the right place. So he was prepared to do the Akedah. He started to get ready for the Akedah, but he never did it. The Malach tells him, don't shaft your son. This is not a mountain. Don't check, there's no mountain over here. This is not the Tiber. But Avraham Avinu thought that this is such a beautiful spot, he was marked the aisle instead. And then he's daven tachor his bochel. Bahar Hashem Yiroi. Make this Emek into a mountain. So that's some sages says, no, the moment he's daven to Hashem, that if he converts the Emek into a mountain, he's going to be mechayiv to shecht the sun there. So that was the nisoyon of Avraham Avinu. And he didn't care. Even though he was bringing it upon himself. The feather doesn't miss it, no? That's true, that the Tzibo Yashem was only on a mountain. So how did Avraham Avinu with the Karli or my Karli? What was the Havamina? What was the Sankadaita? How was he going to shech the sun there? If it originally wasn't a mountain, so why did he want to shech the sun if that wasn't the Tzibo Yashem? Very strange. Plus it says that when they went to the Akeda, so he took with him Vayvaka Atzei Oilo, he took Lag, and he took Eish. He took a machelos, which was not. He took a machelos, he took a knife along. Then when they're walking, the Yitzchak asks the father, why doesn't he say, why doesn't he ask about the machelos? Apparently the machelos was hidden. Why was it hidden? I saw in one of the Svarim they quote, the Ramo writes in Yerideya that a Shoichet should always hide the knife that it shouldn't become Nivgam. Because you can have the Sakhmi Shal Shchita sitting around in an exposed place, it may develop a nick on it, in which case it would be possible for Shchita. So that's why Ramo is following the Sakh of the Ramo, that the Ramo writes as a minute that the Machela should be, you should be Masiyas on Machela Shal Shchita, that it shouldn't become Nivgam. So that's why Yitzchak didn't see. They say in Emir Abishur Leib Diskin. So why didn't he describe in the post? How come the aisle was caught in the bush? What was the significance of the fact that it was caught, that it got caught in the bush? So there's a Zohar has a comment that he was chasing and chasing and chasing from Hara Maria all the way to the Moras HaMachpela. That's quite a chase. How long is that? That's a half an hour by bus. from the Beis Hamikdash still wrong. At least half an hour, 40 minutes by bus. The Zohar says like that he was chasing and chasing and chasing into the, he ran into the Maras HaMachpelo, and that's when he saw the Hashivas of the Maras HaMachpelo, and that's the Hemshos of Parshis Chayisor. That he bought the Maras HaMachpelo for a fortune of money, because at the time of the Akeda he realized that there's something special over here. But he couldn't catch the ayil until he got caught in the bush. But Azar, he couldn't see, he kept on running, couldn't catch the ayil. But they say in the name of Shul Leib Diskin, the Gemara says that the Akedah occurred on Rosh Hashanah. And that's why we are Mispalo on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, the Lahaskar Akedah Yitzchak. And why do we go Tashlich? So it's also Zechel Akedah Yitzchak, that when Avraham Avinu was going to the Akedah for destruction, made the river go very high to give Avraham Avinu a hard time that he should stop and not sustaining the river, not sustaining what difficulties he went and he did the Akedah, and that's why there's a meaning to blow Meir Kailos, because Sarah So we're trying one medrash. One version has it. The Goyim have. So this time 100 koilos. Once you heard about the Akedah. So we do a lot of things there. The Akedah occurred on Rosh Hashanah. When you have to bring korbanos on Rosh Hashanah, the only thing that's mutter is the actual hatovas akorban. What about machshirei korbanos? What about machshirei mitzvah? So we pass machshirei mitzvah on Adrech Shabbos. What if you have no korban to bring and it's running around loose? Are you permitted to catch it on Rosh Hashanah? So tzeid is a malacha. You're not permitted to do tzeid on Rosh Hashanah. But what happens if the animal got caught in its horn? Nechaz basdach v'kaino. Good. So that's what Rabbi Shulay Disney says, because it was Rosh Hashanah, and if the animal wouldn't have gotten caught, then Avraham Avinu would have to violate tzeid in order to bring the carbon. He wouldn't be able to bring the carbon. That would be, he wouldn't bring any carbon. So because of the fact that it was Rosh Hashanah, I thought his brother gave him a break, and he made the ayah get caught. Shulay Disney has a lot of comments on the thing. Along that time. The Haftarah tells about Elisha saving the Ben HaShunamim. The Rambam writes in the Gemara Nebuchim against the Gemara. The Gemara says that he was dead and he was brought back to life. And this is part of the fulfillment of the promise of Eliyahu. Elisha requested of Eliyahu Navi right before he went up to heaven in the fiery chariot. He wanted to have Pishnayim B'Ruchach. He wanted to have double the Kerach and the Ruach of Eliyahu Navi. So Eliyahu Navi said, okay. He said, if this happens, that happens. So it turned out that he had double the Kerach and the Ruach. So the Gemara says, what says double? And Eliyahu Navi is only Chai one mace, and Elisha was Mechai two mace. One is the Ben HaShunamis, and one is Naaman. That Naaman was a Metzer, and Metzer of HaShit Kimeis, and he succeeded in killing Naaman, the Kerach and the Ruach. So the Gemara says that the baby was dead, and he brought it back to life. It was Mamish Pius HaMeisim. The Rambam writes in the Gemara Nebuchim, his famous comment that he had fainted. The baby had fainted, and he wasn't breathing, so they thought that he was dead. And then he revived him. So the Rambam writes that you shouldn't think that the absence of breathing is equivalent to death. He says it's not true. Sometimes people can stop breathing for 3 days. So you're right. Sometimes people can stop breathing for 3 days and they're still alive. Either the Gemara says that, Kolosh HaNishmas Ruach Chaim, the opposite. The Gemara says in the last Perek in Yumeh, that if you have a guy, how do you know when he's dead? How does the Chevek Kaddish know when they're supposed to bury the guy? So it says you put a feather, the Shulchan Aruch, you put a feather by the nose, and you see whether he's breathing. If he's not breathing, you assume that he's dead. And the Gemara bases on a part of Kolosh HaNishmas Ruach Chaim, the opposite. When there's breathing through the nose, then he's alive. When there's not breathing, then he's dead. So doesn't the Gemara say that the definition of death is absence of breathing? So the Tzvi Hirshchayis has an arichas on this Rambam. They call Kisvei Maritzchayis. They have the letters that the Maritzchayis sent to the Chassam Sofer. So there's a response. Most of the Tshuvas Chassam Sofer, it says who the Tshuva is written to. And here there's a very biting Tshuva that the Tzvi Hirshchayis doesn't say who it's written to, because it's a nasty letter. They didn't. The children, when they printed, it wasn't printed by the Chassam Sofer, when it was printed by the children of Chassam Sofer, in the regular Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. So they didn't want to insult the Rav Chayis, so they left out his name, that it shouldn't be obvious that it's to him. But if you look in the Kol Tishrei Maariv Chayis, so he has a letter that he sent to the Chassam Sofer. So if you look at the dates and you see what he responded, so obviously that is a response to that letter. So in his letter, in the Maariv Chayis' letter, he quoted this Mor HaNevuchim, and he says, you see from the Mor HaNevuchim Beferish that the fact that a person is not breathing, that is not the definition of death, that's the simen of death. That's a simon of death. So the Chassam Sofer says, okay, so it's a simon of death, but the Halacha says you can rely on the simon. Maritzchayis suggested maybe we shouldn't rely on the simon, because the Rambam says sometimes a person cannot be breathing for 3 days, and then you can revive him later, and it doesn't mean that he was dead. It's not called a Tzvi Hirshchayis. So the Chassam Sofer says, no, the Gemara says you can rely on that. But you see clearly from the Rambam that absence of breathing is not the definition of death. This is not gay, Halacha L'maaseh. Some people claim that brain death is to be recognized by the halacha because the person is not breathing anymore independently. So that is based on two premises. First of all, that the definition of death is lack of breathing. And secondly, even though the guy's on a respirator, so the air is going in and going out and keeping him alive to a certain extent, the body's not decaying, but that's not enough. You have to have, his body should be independently able to breathe on its own without any outside assistance, without being supplied with the respirator. So the question is on a major premise, the first premise, that Rama holds the Pharisee, that it's not true. Rama and the book says the Pharisee said it's not true. A guy cannot be breathing for 3 days. And he says he's still alive. Could be that the Metzius is not true, but the Rambam says is baloney. Could be that it's not true. But you see that the Rambam is saying in Halacha, he says that the lack of breathing is not the definition of death. You have to find something.